We begin the current daf. Sechtes of the zod daf samach dal. Begin on the bottom of samach gimel beis. 7 lines up from the bottom of the yamud. But the gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf and the halacha of our mishnah opening up a parak of a secher sepoil regarding the laws which continued from the previous parak regarding yain nesach, which not only is the wine prohibited from benefit, but even the wages related to that is also going to be forbidden. So regarding that halacha, the gemara brings that Yosef Rav Nachman v'ula v'avimi bar papi, these three amiram were sitting. And the Yasev Reb Chiya bar Amigabai, when he was sitting with them, the Yasev Kumabailu had the following question. And then the Gemara brings a few other types of discussions regarding the same Amiram. But the first one opens up with the topic of our parak. They had the following question. Scharei Lishbar B'yayin Nesach, if the non-Jew hired the Jew to help break the barrels to spill out the wine that had the wine of libations of the Avodah Zarah in it, Ma, what's the halacha regarding are those wages permitted or not? What's the question? So the Gemara explains, Mi Amrina, do we say, Kivin der Reitzah, since this Jewish worker desires Bikiyumai, he wants the maintenance of these barrels that they shouldn't break by themselves, because he wants to wait that he could break it so that he could get paid for his wages. If it breaks, they're not going to hire him for his services. So therefore, Asur, that's prohibited because now he's working in a desire of the Yayin Esach. So although it's going to waste, but it's creating an attachment of desire that he has for the Yayin Nesach. That's a prohibition of, we say, Lech Lech Amrin Nazira, we say, go away. We make these prohibitions, including that of getting the wages from it. Maybe, no, anything which is diminishing the abomination of the Avodah Zarah is good. And therefore, although he wants it to stay, but ultimately the work that he's doing is smashing the wine, letting it go to waste, and therefore he'd be permitted to take those wages. So Amr Rav Nachman said, and as in the other discussions, there's also Rav Nachman who says, Yishbar b'tavei lav bracha. So he answers the question, says that he could break it, and may blessings come upon him. It's something that is permitted for him to do, because ultimately he's diminishing Avodah Zarah from the world. Says the Gemara, Le Misayele. Let's bring from the following Braisa to support Rav Nachman. The Braisa says, Ein Oidrin, not allowed a hoe, type of a like a plowing, a digging, in ma'evik achavim b'klaim, with a non-Jew in klaim, which klaim is if there's forbidden mixtures that are planted together, where a Jew is not allowed to plant certain things together. So a Jew is not allowed to hoe with the non-Jew in these forbidden mixtures. However, as we get to the top of Samach Dal Manav, Aval Ekrin Imoy, but says the Braisa, but he's allowed to uproot with him to take out the things to throw it out, even though he desires the maintenance of the klaim, that they shouldn't fall out by themselves until he gets to it and he rips it out, because if it does, he's not going to get paid for his services. So you see, although he desires it to be maintained, but the Bryce is saying that he could get paid for ripping out the klaim, and the reason is so it could diminish the prohibited things where klaim is prohibited, and although he desires it, but yet still we see that he could pull it out. Now additionally, for the Gemara to prove Rav Nachman's halacha, it continues. And says, Savru, they thought that the Tana, this Bryce that says that he could get paid, he could do this work by pulling out the klaim with the non-Jew, Hamani, who's this? Rabbi Kiva, it's going like Rabbi Kiva. Whereas Tesis points out, what the Gemara means to say is that it's even like Rabbi Kiva. Because it would be only like the Rabbanan, as we're going to shortly quote their opinions, why would it say that the Jew could be Iker, could pull out the things that are making klaim, even if actually he maintains it, as long as it doesn't contribute to it, the Chacham hold that that's permitted. Rather, the reason why the Braisa says Oikrin is to say that it's even according to Rabbi Kiva. What's the significance of saying it's like Rabbi Kiva? The Amma that he says, Hamakayim Beklaim, his opinion is that if someone just maintains a forbidden mixture in the ground, meaning if let's say someone else planted the klaim, and then this second guy comes along and he makes a fence around it to maintain it, like he gets lashes, obviously, that Rabbi Kiva holds, that it's forbidden to desire the maintenance of the klaim. Now, the time, like we learned the Bryce, Rabbi Kiva's opinion was, Hamanachish, the Tanakama, the Chacham hold, someone is weeding, or have a machapo, if someone goes and, after they would plant, they would cover earth over it, like the way people usually plant. So regarding these two activities, if they're done with klaim, with forbidden mixtures, so the Chacham hold, like, so he's going to get lashes, because it's the same thing as planting klaim, which is forbidden according to everyone, because just like sowing the seeds is for the intention that that it should sprout into into produce, here also it's the intention of having it sprout when you're weeding or when you're covering with earth, it's the same category as like planting. Rabbi Kiva, he says, no, even if he's not contributing to its growth, even if it's just maintaining it, we'll also get Malkus. Now, says the Gemara, my time to Rabbi Kiva. What's the reason, Rabbi Kiva? Because Amar Kura, the pasuk says Beyikra, although the pasuk does say Sadcha leisizra klayim, which sounds like the Chacham, your field you should not plant forbidden mixtures. But Rabbi Kiva continues and says, Ainli Elazareya, so I would only know like the Chacham say that the prohibition of klayim is for planting. Mikayim minayin, from where do we know that the prohibition is even maintenance? Tamalayma, that's what the pasuk teaches, loy kelayim, not kelayim. Now, actually, it doesn't say those exact words in the pasuk. And this is a pasuk in Yikra, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Yutes, where the pasuk says, Hashem says, you should keep my statutes. And it says three types of klayim. It says, Behem tuchot leisar bi klayim. Your animals, you should not mate them for bitter mixtures. Second one, it says, Sadcha leisizra klayim. Your field, you should not plant klayim. And the third type, it says, Uvegid klayim shatnes leyal lecha. And the garment of klayim, which is shatnes, which is woolen linen, that you shouldn't put on you. But what Rabbi Kiva is expounding is, the word kalayim of the first category of harva, of mating different types of animals, that from the fact that it says the word kalayim right next to the word sada, as the Gemara expounds this in the beginning of Masechtas Ma'akatan, that you could read it kalayim sad chaloi. Why are we reading it like that? Because really the word kalayim is from the first halach of behem t'chalei sir bi kalayim. Then it's like almost a comma, then sad chaloi sir bi kalayim. But since it has the word kalayim near sadcha, you could read it kalayim sadcha loy. Why? Because really, it could have said, behem tcho leisir be a kalayim, and then not have the word sadcha right there, and then kept the same uniformity, but leisizra sadcha kalayim, and don't plant your field the kalayim. Why does it have the word sadcha right next to over there? To say that it's actually going back on the word kalayim from before, which sounds like that not only like the pasuk says sadcha leisizra kalayim, but actually, as you could read it if you put the commas in other ways, kalayim sadcha loy. Your field should not be kalayim, which means to say even just maintenance, even just being is prohibited, not even contributing like it is in the case of planting. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. So on that continues the Gemara. As Tosfos explained, the Gemara was assuming that the Tana of this Brice that we quoted before is like Rabbi Kiva. And even though he says that maintaining is Aser, but Ve'ilu, whereas the Halacha that the Brice was talking about of uprooting the Kalayim, Lema'ute Tifla, that was because it was to diminish the prohibited item, in that case the Kalayim, even though he desired its maintenance until he could come and rip it out and get paid for that, still says the Gemara, you see, that Shari, the Rabbi Kiva said it's going to be permitted, and therefore that supports Rav Nachman, that the same thing is by Yain Nesach, where although he's desiring it for it to be maintained, but still, since the purpose is Lema'ute Tifla, that is ultimately going to smash it, it's going to be permitted. Says the Gemara, no riot to Rav Nachman. Because Hamani Rabbanahi, the Tanya of the Brayse recorded before, is not Rabbi Kiva. It's like Rabbanan, who they're not concerned if someone desires the maintenance of something that's forbidden, as we just brought over here in the halachas of Klayim. And therefore, by the halachas of Yai Nesach, where it actually is prohibited for someone to desire the maintenance, because a Jew is actually is commanded to nullify avoy zara and all its utilities, says the Gemara, I would tell you that's actually usher for him to be raitza, be kiyumai, and there is actually not allowed to get paid for the wages of even to smash it. The Brayse over here says that you could get paid for wages of uprooting something that's forbidden where you're desiring it for to be maintained. But that's by Kalayim. That's like the Rabbanu who says there's no prohibition of desiring maintenance by Kalayim. It's not like Rabbi Kiva. And therefore there's no right to Rav Nachman because by Yai Nesach there is a prohibition of desiring its maintenance. And that is the Gemara, as we had alluded to from Tosfos beforehand, which is the Gemara's question right now, from the fact that the Brayse had to say that it's permitted to rip out the Kalayim, sounds like, yeah, because although he's desiring it to be maintained, but since it's being memayit to tifla, it's uprooting, it's getting rid of the kalayim, that's what it's permitted. But it sounds like a total maintenance that would be prohibited on that. I say, why? Irabbanan, if you tell me the time of the brace like Rabbanan, so my Iri Oikrin, why are they saying that the Jew is permitted to work with the non-Jew? Of uprooting the kalayim, I feel the kiyumi namashabadama, even if it lets you help him make a fence, should be permitted because, as we said, the Rabban hold that kiyum by kalayim is permitted. That's why we thought it was Rabbi Kiva, who says no kiyum is aser, but if it's reitz b'kiyumi to be my tifl, that would be permitted, which would support Rav Nachman. You're saying it's like Rabbanan, then why say oikrin? Says the Gemara, no, truthfully, it's not a right to Rav Nachman. And the Tan of the Brayse is like Rabbanan. And this that they needed to permit it only in the case of oikrin, of uprooting it, it's not because like we're asking, well, what does that mean? Why? Why only uprooting? Even if you made a fence, should be permitted. So you're right. It's not because if it wasn't only oikrin, it would be a problem of because reitzah b'kiyumai. Because again, the Rabban hold there's no problem by reitzah b'kiyumai by in general, even without being mimai tifla by klayim. But rather, hacham eiskin, what we're talking about over here is kagain to avid bechinam. It's where the Jew is helping his neighbor, the non-Jewish neighbor, and he's doing it for free. Rabbi Yehuda, and it's going like Rabbi Yehuda Dama that he says, as recorded in the first paragraph of Chaf Mar Aleph, says, Litin lehem matnas chinam aser, to give them a free gift is forbidden. And that is always going to be forbidden, no matter what he's doing. He's helping him out, even top root. It doesn't make a difference. I'll do it for favor for him for free. That's what the Bryce is teaching, however. But if it's lemu'ute tifle, if it's but to uproot a prohibited item, that's going to be permitted. But nothing to do because of Reitz B'Kiyume, because again, we're going like Rabban, who have no problem with Reitz B'Kiyume, but client. But again, that still doesn't support Rav Nachman. You don't see a case of Reitz B'Kiyume that's generally usser, that would only be held like Rabbi Kiva, and that, but if it's lemu'ute tifle, it would be mutter. No, we're going like Rabbanan, who have no problem with Reitz B'Kiyume, and the reason why it would have been usser is because of Rabbi Yehuda's halacha. That's why we need to have that it's lebu'ute tifl, and that's why it's permitted. But on that, the Gemara asks, so but then even hearing from Rabbi Yehuda itself, you can still prove to Rav Nachman. Because from Rabbi Yehuda, that he permits his prohibition, which was of doing a favor for a non-Jew for free, he says that it's going to be permitted when it's lebu'ute tifla to uproot a prohibited item. So nishma Rabbi Kiva, from there you could infer to Rabbi Kiva that he would also permit his iser of maintaining klayim because of mu'ute tifla of uprooting the prohibited item, which thus would then go and extend to Rabbi Nachman's halacha and say the same thing of yayin asach, that although generally it's prohibited to be reitzah b'kiyumanit, but lemu'ute tifla to uproot the yayin asach, to break the barrels would be permitted, which would support Rabbi Nachman's halacha. As the Gemara explains, Lava Rabbi Yehuda as lit lematnas chinim. Didn't Rabbi Yehuda say, which as you're establishing that's the case of the Braisa, that it's forbidden to do for them a favor for free? But you're saying that Allah the Braisa is teaching us, but if it's to diminish a prohibited item, it's going to be mutter. So Rabbi Kiva nami. Then you can say in the same logic to Rabbi Kiva. Avagav dem Rabbi Kiva mekayim b'klayim loika. Although Rabbi Kiva, as recorded him before, says, to maintain klayim, one gets lashes, lemutei tifla shaper dami, but if it's to diminish the prohibited item, would be permitted. So you see, Rav Nachman's halacha, that the same thing should apply to Yayin Nesach. Even though Yayin Nesach is usher, like Rabbi Kiva's halacha of reitzah b'kiyumai, of klayim, so to be Yayin Nesach is prohibited, but if it's lemutei tifla, if it's to smash the barrels, then it's going to be permitted, then he can get his wages. Says the Gemara Vesulimidi, and you're right, there's nothing more to say about this. There is no difficulty from this on Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman is going to be supported from this Braisa by logic, because even if you're saying it's not like Rabbi Kiva, it's like the Rabbanim, but they're like Rabbi Yehuda, and from there you could extend the same logic to Rabbi Kiva, and then thus to Rav Nachman's halacha too, that the Jew could get paid for his wages, and like Rav Nachman said, V'tavid lav bracha. The Gemara continues, Hadi Yasvi v'kamen ba'ilahu. They were again sitting the same Amiram, and they had the following question. I'm continuing on the topic of Amasechta. The money of an idol in the hand of a non-Jew, meaning a non-Jew sold his idol. That money, ma, what's halacha, is one permitted to have benefit from that money? So the Gemara explains the question. Although we had said in the previous daf that Avodah Zarah has the halacha that not only is the idol itself prohibited, but if one exchanges, sells it, barters it for something else, that item also, the transfers to that prohibited item on that money too. So now the Gemara's question is, do we say the same thing applies to when it's in the non-Jew's hand? Or maybe not. Amalur Rav Nachman, he says, Mistab, it's logical to say that actually the monetary value of the transfer of the idol, if it's in the hand of a non-Jew, is going to be permitted. Because as Tais explains, the reason for this is because this halacha that an avodah zara is tevis demeah is because the pasuk as we brought in the previous daf says v'yisachem kamayhu, which teaches us that kol shat demahayim imenu kamayhu, whatever you take from it, meaning even if one sells it or transfers from it, should be the same. And says Tais is that pasuk which says to the Yisrael, to the Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people, and not to Bnei Noach, and therefore actually by a non-Jew that halacha does not apply, and the money is going to be permitted. And he brings a proof. It says, there were certain non-Jews that wanted to convert, they came in front of Rabbi Barvua. So Amalahu, he said to them, Zilu Zvinu, kol ma de islachu, first sell off all your stuff, all your avodah zaras, v'su iskayru, and then convert. Says Gemara, my time, why do you tell him this? V'shem diksav, demei avodah kechav, miyad oivah kechav, mutar, obviously because he held that the monetary value of the idols, when they sell it off, if it's the hand of a non-Jew, then it's permitted. So he was telling them, look, if you're going to convert first, you're not going to be able to sell all your expensive idols that you're going to have. So obviously we see, but what they're selling now as non-Jews, they're going to be permitted to utilize when they convert and become Jews. We see that money is permitted for a Jew if it was transferred in the hands of a non-Jew, which is what they were before they converted. So the Gemara rejects the proof. No, v'dimashani hasa, maybe over there was different, that he said that they could sell it off now and use it after they become Jewish, is because the kivin the daiti ligiyure, since these people are coming to convert, vade batla, obviously they're nullifying the idol from beforehand, because obviously they don't believe in the polytheism and all the avodah zarah, because that's why they're converting to Judaism. So that's why the money's going to be mutter. Not because he transferred his idol for money, because he was mavatli, nullified. He says, ugh, this is rubbish. Can't believe I ever believed in this stuff. That's why. But there's no proof that because it was transferred. Maybe if a non-Jew believes in it, he just needs money. He sells the idol to another fellow idol. Maybe that money would be prohibited for a Jew. Here it's only permitted because they're being mavatlit, and then they're going to use it when they become Jewish. So El Mahach rather says, the Gemara rather support for Rav Nachman from the following Braisa. Says, Yisrael shall yenoishe ba'evik achav mana. If a Jew was a creditor collecting from an idol worshipper a mana, a certain amount of money. U'mochar avaydis kachav mehevi lo. So the non-Jew didn't have any money, so he took his idol, sold it, and gave the proceeds to his creditor, the Jew. Or yayinesach vehevi lo. He had his wine, which was wine libations for his avaydis zara. He sold it, and he brought that money and gave it to the Jew. Says the Braisa, so mutter, so that money is permitted. So there's a clear proof to Rav Nachman that obviously that the money of Avodah Zarah in the hand of a non-Jew is permitted, and therefore since it's permitted, a Jew could have benefit from that and get paid from that. Now, however, the Braisa continues, Avol Emma'amar Lai, but if let's say the non-Jew tells the Jewish creditor, Hamtin li atche emkra avodis kachav ve'evilach, look, I don't have any money, wait until I go sell my idol and I'll give you the money. Or yayin nesach ve'evilach, wait till I sell this yayin nesach and I'll give it to you. Then says the Braisa, also then it's prohibited. So we already resolved, we answered the question from the first halacha of the Braisa. But the Gemara is challenged how to resolve the Braisa itself. Maishna resha, maishna seifa, what's the difference between the two halachas? They're both when the non-Jew is selling the idol or the yayin nesach and giving the proceeds to the Jewish creditor. Why is the first case permitted? Second case prohibited. So I'm Rav Sheshes, he says, but the seifa, the last case, why it's prohibited, is mishum dehavale ki reitzi b'kiyumai. Because that's a Jew desiring the maintenance of that Avodah Zarah or the Yayin Nesach until his non-Jewish debtor sells it. That's right to be human that we said that's prohibited, like we said regarding the laws of wages. That's prohibited since he wants it, and since he wants it, that actually will make it prohibited for him to take those proceeds and use it to get paid for his debt. Is such a case of desiring its maintenance prohibited? But what's not, the Mishnah Masechtas Demaida says as follows. Ger va'evi kachavim, a convert and his brother, who is still a non-Jewish idol worshipper. Sheyarshu avi and evi kachavim, who they inherited their father, who was also a non-Jew. Just one of the brothers went and converted to Judaism. So ger yachal loymalai, so the brother who became Jewish, could tell to his non-Jewish brother, look, tolata avaytis kachavim, you take the idols, I have no need for it, I'm Jewish, I don't believe in this, I can't have any benefit of it. Vani mois, and I'll take the money. Tolata yayin nesach vani peris, you take the yayin nesach, which I can't use the wine from our father, and I'll take the produce. So we see that the ger, the brother converted, is reitzu b'kiyumah, he desires the maintenance of the yayin nesach and avodah zarah. He wants it that they shouldn't break, because if they would break, then he wouldn't be able to use that as a divide between him and his brothers. He wants it to be maintained until his brother takes that portion, and that he takes his own portion, and still we see that it's going to be mutter. He's allowed to do that. That we see, which is going to be the difficulty on this halacha, where we see that reitz b'kiyumai is actually mutter in such a case when he's desiring it to just that it's so he could get his payment from the other half. Which, however, continues the Mishnah in Mishabo l'shus ager, but if it already came to the, let's say they split up the estate, and in the Jewish brothers, the one who converted, there's Avodah Zarah, they then also then is forbidden. He can't go ahead and then have benefit by exchanging it with his brother for something else from the estate. But one thing we see is that the first halacha is reitz b'kiyumai, and such a case is going to be mutter. So Amar Rava Bar Uli says, Masnitin, the Mishnah Masechtas Demai is actually not reitz b'kiyumai. Because if he was reitz b'kiyumai, where he's not actually having benefit from the Avodah Zarah, but he wants it up until that he can get his part of the estate, that it's going to be also, like we said before, if he's reitz b'kiyumai in the previous halacha, here it's permitted because masnit mavaydis kechav mamischalek is lafi shaberer. Here we're talking about that the family of Avodah Zarah are very expensive. The father had Avodah Zarah made out of gold and silver, where if they would break, they would just divide the broken pieces because it has the value inherently in the metal. Where the brother who converted doesn't care for breaks, and therefore it's not ritzu b'kiyumai, and therefore that's why it's going to be permitted in the case of the estate. But in the previous halacha, where it's regular avodah zarah, then we said that if he tells the Jewish creditor, wait till I go and sell it, that's forbidden because that's ritzu b'kiyumai. And that has to gemara. Well, tenach avodah zkechavim, that only explains the halacha, the case of the avodah zarah. But the other case, yayin nesach, when he was saying, like, oh, you brother, you take the yayin nesach, I'll take the pears. Ma'ikonem, what are you going to say over there? There most definitely, if the jugs that have the yayin nesach break, it's going to go a total loss. And he's telling him, you take the wine, I take the pears, but that's right to be kiyumai. Why is that mutter? So the Gemara, no, there is also not right to be kiyumai because becheres hadriyani. We're talking about where these were the earthenwares of hadriyanis, when they went into war, where they would take wine and they would absorb it into earthenware, and then they would take the earthenware and then soak it in water, and out would come the wine. We don't care if the jugs break because the wine is absorbed in the jugs, and anyway, if you take the broken pieces, soak it in water, the wine's going to come out anyway, so there's actually no loss if the jugs break. It's the same thing as how we explained the gold and silver of the avodah zarah. That's why there's no ritzu b'kiyumai, that's why it's mutter. But that is the Gemara, but still, there's still an element of ritzu b'kiyumai over here. Forget about breaking. Right, breaking doesn't make a difference. But he wants it to be maintained that it doesn't get stolen, doesn't get lost, because if it does before the brothers split the estate, he's not going to use it as a divide, as collateral for the, you get that and I get that. So it's still ritzu b'kiyumai, and based on what you said before, that should be awesome. So Elam Rapapa, rather, Papa gives a different answer why this mission in Demai is different and not difficult in halacha, we said before. Yerusha Sager comment, it says, you're asking from the halacha of the inheritance of one of the brothers who converted to Judaism? Shani Yerusha Sager, Daikilu Be'Rabbanan. Halacha of a non-Jewish son who converted to Judaism, his inheritance of his non-Jewish father, is different because there the rabbis were lenient. It's a rabbinic decree that he might go back to his old ways. He's going to say, wait a second. Look, I became Jewish. My father's wealthy, wealthy billionaire, and I lost out all this money. He might go back. And therefore, the rabbis were lenient and allowed him to do things. But in general, the Gemara is maintaining its previous point that if he's rates to be kiyumi in such a situation to be able to get payment, like we said regarding the Jewish creditor of the non-Jewish debtor, would be us or here for the ger, the rabbanan were more lenient. As the Gemara continues on the base and proves this idea, Tanam Hach is similar in the Braisa, that it's only rabbinic leniency regarding this a Jew with his non-Jewish brother of inheritance, because the Braisa says, "Amed v'rumen, when do we say this halacha? She Yarshu, when they inherited. Av Neshtat v'waser. But if they were partners, then yeah, it would be forbidden for him to say, you take the Yain Nesach and I take the pears, because that is something where he's rates a big human until they divide, and that would be aser. It's only halacha that they were lenient regarding the Yerusha of a ger. Continues the Gemara. So again, they were sitting the same Amram. They asked the following question. Again, continuing on the theme of our Mesechta. Ger Taisha, regarding a resident convert who doesn't worship Avodah Zarah, but he's just like a full-fledged non-Jew, like all the other non-Jews, regarding all the other sins that they do. What halacha could he nullify Avodah Zarah or not? We said in previous dafim that a non-Jew could be mivatel Avodah Zarah, a Jew cannot. So the question is, does this Ger Taisha have the status as a non-Jew to Mevatel Avodah Zarah or not? The Zigmar explains the question. Do we say the Palach Mavtel, only someone who worships Avodah Zarah could be Mevatel, because he's an inheritant. So when he denies it, so he could be Mevatel. The Loi Palach, Loi Mavtel, but someone that doesn't worship cannot nullify it. A little more, maybe called the Bar Minei Mavtel. Anyone that's that species of being an Oivik Kacham, being a non-Jew, could be Mevatlet, V'hai Bar Mineihu, and here he is, a full-fledged non-Jew, he just doesn't worship Avodah Zarah, and if he could be Mevatlet. Some Rav Nachman, again, here it's Rav Nachman who says to them, Mistabr the Palach Mavtel, again, he's coming from logic, he says, it's logical to say that the one who worships it can nullify, Deloi Palach Lei Mavtel, the one who doesn't worship it cannot Mevatlet, and therefore, he says, the Ger Teshev cannot Mevatlet Avodah Zarah. On that Mesve, they ask him the following braisa. Yisrael Shematza Avodah Kacham Mashok, a Jew is walking, and he finds an idol in the street. It might be an expensive one, might be made out of pearls or gold or silver. So it says the Braisa, actually, Basliyada, if it didn't yet come into his hand, the Jew didn't pick it up yet. He could tell a non-Jew, here, nullify this Avodah Zarah. And then he could go ahead and take it, because the non-Jew could nullify it, now it's permitted, now he could use it. But Mishab Basliyada, once the Jew already picked it up in his hand, then he can't tell a non-Jew to nullify it. And the reason is because the Jew already acquired it. A Jew's Avodah Zarah, no one, even a non-Jew, could nullify it. As the Braisa said, because they said, Ayvik Achav, a non-Jew, is mevatel avodis kachavim shaloi v'shal chaver. Meaning, if he finds an idol on the street, he just gets any non-Jew, doesn't have to be the one who owns it, because that non-Jew could mevatel his own avodah zarah and his friend's avodah zarah, bein avda u bein shein avda, whether he worships it or whether he doesn't worship it. Now, the Gemara goes on the last point that was mentioned. My avda or my shein avda, what does this mean that a non-Jew can mevatel this avodah zarah, whether he serves it or not? If you're going to say that what the Bryce is saying is that whether it hits his idol or not, but we're talking about that him and the owner of this idol are both idol worshippers, is just saying that he could mevatel this person's idol, even though he never worshipped this idol itself, but even so, he could, since he's an idol worshipper, he can mevatel this avodah zarah. And that asked the Gemara, well, Hainu Shalei B'Shal Chaver, then that's the same thing it said in the line before, that whether it's his own avodah zarah or someone else's avodah zarah. Elalav, rather, says the Gemara, which is difficult in Rav Nachman, must be Avda. What does it mean if he worships it? Avda Kachavim, he's an idol worshipper. My Shein Avda, what does it mean even if he doesn't worship it? Must be, he doesn't worship avodah zarah at all, which is Ger Teshuv, the resident convert. B'Shema Menor, Ger Teshuv, not Mevatel, so that's a proof, not like Rav Nachman, that we see that a Ger Teshuv could be Mevatel avodah zarah. Because what does it mean, Avda Vayena Avda? Doesn't mean Avda this or some other one, and he doesn't worship this, because that's Shalei B'Shal Chaver, where he worshiped his and not his friends. Says Gemara, Loi, no. Loi Lam Eimelach Idvi Idi Avda Gacham. Truthfully, I would tell you that both of them, the owner of this idol which the Jew finds, and the non-Jew that he calls him a battle, are both idol worshippers. Now, with the comment of this that you said, well, Hainu Shalei B'Shal Chaver, well, then that's the same thing as the previous clause of whether it's his or someone else's. Says Gemara, no, they're different. Because Reisha, the first clause of saying that he can mevatel even if it's his or someone else's, his friends, is referring to zevezel lepa'ar vezevezel lemakaylus, where each one serves the same avodah zarah. It's just that each one has his own individual par. I go to the par on 65th Street, and he goes to the par on 79th Street. And that's the Reish's teaching, that still, this non-Jew can mevatel his own par, or he can mevatel his friend's par. And so to his friend, he can mevatel his par. Or same thing, Lamar Kailis. He goes to Parilis on Avenue M, he goes to Parilis on Avenue N, and they can mevatel each other's. That's where Shalai v'Shal Chaver, but it's the same avodah zarah. Seifa, which is saying whether Avda or Eina Avda, is saying Zela Pa'ar v'Zela Mar Kailis. It's saying that even if he doesn't serve this avodah zarah at all, he goes to a whole different sect of idol worship. Still, it's saying, even though he goes apart and goes to Makailas, a non-Jew can mevatel the avodah zarah of his chaver, and therefore it doesn't prove anything regarding Ger Teshuv. It's talking about that they're both avdei kechavim, and that's why he can mevatel. But the Gemara continues asking Rav Nachman Meisvei from the following Braisa. Braisa says, Ezehu Ger Teshuv. What is the qualification of being considered a resident convert? We know a Ger Tzedek, a full-fledged convert, is someone that becomes a total Jew. Ger Teshuv is something in the middle. What is that? So says the Braisa, Kol Shekibul Olav Befnei Gimel Chaverim, if he accepts upon himself in front of three Tamidei Chachamim, Shaloi Lavad Avodas Chachamim, that he's not going to serve idol worship, Divrei Meir, that's been Divrei Meir, that makes him into Ger Teshuv, which has certain halachas, like L'Hachi Yaisi, to go ahead and support him. V'Chamim, V'Chamim say, Kol Shekibul Olav Sheva Mitzvah Shekibul Olav B'nei Noach, if he accepts upon himself the seven Noahide laws, which one of them is a avodah zarah, but the six other ones, which the sons of Noach, non-Jews, accepted upon themselves to fulfill, if he goes and he takes such a formal acceptance, that makes him into a Ger Teshuv, which then we have certain obligations to him, in contrast to a regular non-Jew. Achemim, the other say, third opinion, says, no, Eilu Leibo L'Chlal Ger Teshuv. These that we just described, they don't come into the category of a Ger Teshuv, which should have that a Jew should be commanded to support them, because even full-fledged non-Jews are commanded regarding avodah zarah and all the other six commandments of the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. That doesn't make him a Ger Teshuv. Ela Ezehu Ger Teshuv, rather, says the third opinion, what makes someone into a Ger Teshuv? Zeh Ger Eichel Nevelas, this is a convert to Judaism, who eats non-kosher, meaning, Shekibul Lov L'Kayim Kol Mitzvah Mors B'Torah, he accepts upon himself all the mitzvahs in the Torah. Chutz Mi'isin Nevelas, except for the prohibition about eating an animal that wasn't properly slaughtered regarding non-kosher, that's the one that he doesn't command, that he doesn't accept. But all the other mitzvahs he's doing, that's a Ger Teshuv. But either way, whatever the qualification of Ger Teshuv is, continues the Braisa. So, however, regarding Ger Teshuv, since everyone agrees, at least he's not doing avodah zarah, so miyachden etz layayin, so they could seclude, a Jew could have his wine secluded with this Ger Teshuv. Now, however, in mafkid netzlam, but you cannot deposit wine by him in his house for a long period of time, because then you have to have a different concern that he might swap his wine, which is not as good, with the Jew's wine, and his wine is prohibited, as the Gemara is going to shortly quote the end of the Braisa, when we say Yenin Kishimnon, that to consume his wine is prohibited. So you can't deposit it for a long time, even if it's a city the majority are Jews, still, to leave it there a long time, we're concerned that he might swap it. Aval Meyachtin, that's laying, like we said, but you could seclude, you could keep your wine there just with him and the wine, meaning, let's say, a Jew leaves it in his store until he says, look, I'm going just for a few miles, I'm going to be back shortly. Now, that's permitted by the Ger Taishav, in contrast by a non-Jew. A non-Jew is problematic because the Jew goes out for 1 second, he just agitates the wine, he made it to Yain Nesach. Now, in contrast, or by the Ger Taishav, we said he doesn't do Avodah Zarah. So, here we have that since the Ger Taishav doesn't worship Avodah Zarah, he's not touching it, he's not doing any Nesach, in contrast by a non-Jew, where in general, that would be problematic. Now, moreover, we're not concerned that the scared Taishav storekeeper is going to let a non-Jew come in to his house and do some agitation, because the only reason why elsewhere we suspected that one non-Jew will let another non-Jew is because it's what's Gaimlin. He says, okay, I'll let you touch his wine if you let me touch his wine. Now, but the Ger Taishav has no benefit from it, so he's not going to let a non-Jew touch it because he doesn't believe in idolatry. Moreover, to be concerned that he might swap the Jew's wine for his own wine, since it's a short period of time, we're not concerned. If you deposit, you leave it there by him for like a month, then he might swap it, but if it's just you going out for an hour or two and you're going to be back, we're not concerned for swapping, we're not concerned that he's going to touch it because he's not doing Avodah Zarah, and we're not concerned he's let a non-Jew touch it because he doesn't believe in this idolatry stuff and he has no benefit if a non-Jew comes and agitates the wine. And this is going to be permitted, even if it's a city majority of non-Jews, it doesn't make a difference. There's no concern by Yichud, but there is a concern about Pikad and even the Ir Sharuba Yisrael. Continues the Braisa, Shamnoi Kiyenoi. The oil of a Ger Taishav is like his wine, which what it sounds like right now is that his oil will be prohibited like his wine is, which sounds like a stringency, which the Gemara asks, Shamnoi Kiyenoi Sakadaydach, what do you think the oil of the Ger Taishav is like his wine? But even if you said that the wine of a Ger Taishav, for some reason, which is difficult in its own right, would be prohibited. Shemin mi kohava yayin nesach? What do you mean? How could oil be yayin nesach? What's the concern about his oil? El rather says, Gemara, no, the other way around. Yenai, the wine of the Ger Taishav, is permitted to have benefit from it, like we said, because unlike a regular non-Jew, a Ger Taishav, there's no concern about Avodah Zarah. So there's no problem about benefit. Benefit is only when it's related to Avodah Zarah. It's saying that his wine is kishamne, is like his oil. Which, as Rashi points out, this price is going before there was a point in time later on when they permitted the oil of a non-Jew. But this is talking about before they permitted it. So we're saying that it's going to be permitted to have benefit, but the consumption is going to be usher. That's because of the halacha of chitun, which they later on retracted and permitted. But just like we're not allowed to have the food from them and the daughters because it might come to Avodah Zarah, so too, because of this intermarriage, we're not allowed to have from their oil. So benefit is not problematic, but drinking was the issur of having from their oil. So that's what we're saying, that their wine is the same as their oil. Where although the wine of a non-Jew is prohibited because he might have agitated for Avodah Zarah, Stam Yenim, that doesn't apply to Ger Taishav because according to all opinions, he doesn't do Avodah Zarah. Continues the Braisa, Ulashar Kol Davar, regarding all other things, we consider Ger Taishav like a non-Jew, meaning we suspect him for all different types of halachas, we don't trust him. Rabbi Shimon Oimer, he says, Yeno Yayin Nesach. He says the wine of the Ger Taishav is like Yayin Nesach. Why? Even though he doesn't do idolatry himself, because it doesn't stop a non-Jew from agitating. That he doesn't bother. So we have to be concerned that a non-Jew touch it. And actually, Amrullah, some say from Shimon the exact opposite, that it says no mutter b'shtiyah. It's even permitted to drink because he's not concerned at all regarding the wine of the Ger Taishav. But be that as it may, says the Gemara Ketoni Mia. But one thing that we learned is as follows. It says, Ulashar called Devar of Harei Ko'evi Kechavim. It says that regarding all the other halachas of the Ger Taishav, he's considered like a full-fledged non-Jew. Why? Because since he didn't circumcise himself, so we suspect him regarding the whole entire Torah. Says the Gemara, Lamai Hechasa, for what halacha does that mean to say? Lav demavat lavitz kecham ko'evi kecham. And says the Gemara, isn't it saying, which is difficult in Rav Nachman, that means to say that just like a non-Jew can be vat lavitz zara, so too the Ger Taishav can be vat lavitz zara, because they're saying he's like a full-fledged non-Jew, which that means he can be vat lavitz zara. On that, on Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he says, no, that's not what the Braisa means to say. What does it mean to say when it says that he's like a full-fledged non-Jew? For a different area of halacha, meaning regarding mevat lavitz zara, he cannot, because he doesn't worship, so he cannot be mevatl. But it's regarding litin rishus ulavatl rishus. regarding giving over his property and nullifying the rights of his property. Meaning to say that he cannot go ahead and give over his property like to other Jews, like a Jew could, unless his property was rented from him from before Shabbos. We can talk about the Braisa, which is in the context of the laws of Erevin. Halacha is, one's not allowed to carry from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRab. However, from like a Rishus HaYachid to a Chatzar, is not Rishus HaRab, is permitted, but the rabbis decreed and said that a Chatzar, which is shared by many people, could confuse and lead people to carrying to Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, rabbinically, they said one is not allowed to carry even from a private home into the shared courtyard, because it's similar to like going from a private domain to the public domain. However, they said that if they make an Eruvi Chetzeris, which is that everyone puts their bread in one person's house, it's like as if that one person's house is everyone's house, which everyone is a one big Rishus HaYachid, one private domain, it's one big bungalow, everything is just one property, and then it's going to be permitted. Now, the way to do that is by everyone giving over their rights. Now, the non-Jew, and that was one of the reasons, is they wanted to keep the Jews away from the non-Jews, said he cannot just be mevatel his Rishus. What you have to do is you have to actually rent from him his property, which has to be done from before Shabbos. You rent it off, so then it's considered like the Jew's property. Now, says the Braisa, Yisrael Mumer Mishamer Shabbat B'Shuk. If there's a renegade Jew who, at least he's Shomer Shabbos in the street, meaning in public he doesn't do any desecration of Shabbos, even though we know that he desecrates Shabbos in private in his own home. But since he keeps Shabbos in the street, so Mavat Rishos, he's qualified as a Jew that he could just nullify his rishus. What this means to say is, if let's say he did not do the Eruvi Chatzeres before Shabbos, and he has a share in the shared courtyard, so he can't view it anymore as a singular property, because it's everyone else who's like one property, and him, who he didn't relinquish his rights to the Chatzer, it's like it's already considered like a public domain on some level, because it's more than one singular owner. He has his own rights into the shared courtyard. So halacha is, he can be mevatel, he can nullify, he says, look, I give up my rights to that. So it's like he doesn't get in the way. And now it's back to all the people that are like one property. Now, she'ein meshamer Shabbat b'shuk, but if let's say he doesn't even keep Shabbos in the street, then ein mevatel rishus, then he cannot nullify his domain. We consider him like a non-Jew who cannot mevatel his rishus. As the Braisa says, because they said, Yisrael noisim rishus mevatel rishus. Only a Jew could give over his domain, could nullify his rights. Meaning, if let's say, like we said, if his house opened up into the common courtyard where there's Jews living over there, and he forgot and he did not do the Eiv with them before Shabbos, he could be mevatel his rights in the courtyard. Now, if he's not mevatel, then it's going to be forbidden for everyone else to take and carry from their homes into the courtyard, because they're taking out from their own Rishus HaYochid that's distinct for each one, to a domain which has more than one person having rights to. And like we said, the Chamor Gais are not to take out from one Rishus to the Rishus of another person. So, in regards to this, it's only a Yisrael is allowed to do this, but regarding a non-Jew, like we said, they made more added stringencies regarding a non-Jew, because they didn't want Jews to be near non-Jews. There, it's only permitted if he rents, and the non-Jew is not going to want to rent it out. Says, what are the Jews coming? What are they rented out? And there's all these problems with Erevin. So there, it's only until he rents it out. Now, Ketzad, how does this work when a Jew wants to go ahead and give his Rishus, give up, because he forgot to join the Erev before Shabbos? He says, don't worry, I don't have any rights in the courtyard. He tells to the other Jews, Rishusi kenui lach, my domain is acquired to you, Rishusi mivatelis lach, my domain is nullified to you. And then this other Jew, who he's like, so to speak, the owner of all the properties, like his own one big Rishus HaYachid, he takes it from him, and then he can take it out and carry it into the courtyard. And Kana, and the one who takes these rights, acquires it with just the guy saying these words, even without any transfer of any money, vein tzarech lezakis, and doesn't have to be merited to him through some type of an acquisition. That says the Gemara, that's what the Braisa means to say, that the Ger Toshev is like a non-Jew for all other halachas, meaning for the laws of Shabbos, that he cannot be mevatel his rishos, so it would be nice rishos. From the Ger Toshev, you have to go ahead and rent from him his property from before Shabbos, in contrast to a Jew who could even mevatel a nice rishos on Shabbos. It's regarding to that. But regarding to the other law, that was saying that to mevatel avodah zarah, the Ger Toshev is actually not like a non-Jew, and he cannot be mevatel avodah zarah, like Rav Nachman said, because it's only the palach miftel, the one who worships avodah zarah, mevatel Ger Toshev, according to everyone, of all three opinions, doesn't worship avodah zarah. He stands to his opinion that he's not like an avodah zarah in that regard, and he cannot be mevatel avodah zarah.